Genesis 35, verse 16. Verse 16, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Brother Samuel, will you pray for us tonight? Amen. You might be seated tonight. I want to talk to you tonight, and don't cut me off just because of my title. I got a little bit for everybody tonight. Amen. But I want to deal with the gospel. I know y'all were surprised. I want to deal with the gospel tonight, and I want to talk to you about the gospel according to Benjamin. Now, I want to say this first of all, that the gospel, we know the doctrine of the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is the death of Jesus Christ for our sins, according to the Scriptures, His burial and His resurrection according to the Scriptures. Can I get an amen right there? And tonight, if you'll repent and believe that gospel, you can be saved. You can have your sins forgiven tonight. But there's also a definition of the gospel. And Brother Henderson, the definition of the gospel is the good news. Amen. And many of y'all know this because I preached a bunch of them here, but for the past few years, I've just been going through the Old Testament and looking for the good news. And turns out, it's all over the place. Amen. So tonight we're going to deal with the gospel, the good news according to Benjamin. The first thing I see, and leave your Bible open, we're going to be going through a couple of different texts tonight, but the first thing I see in this gospel is the birth in this gospel according to Benjamin. Now, obviously in our text here, Rachel's in hard labor. I've never seen easy labor. Come on, ladies, help me right there. But she's in hard labor, and she's about to have her second son, Benjamin. Now, there is a precedence that is being continued here, Brother Will, in the book of Genesis. I believe it was Brother Fleming that said Acts was his favorite book. My sister leaned up and said, well, after he announced that he was going to preach out of Acts, she said, what are you going to preach out of? I said, my favorite book in the Bible, book of Genesis. Amen. Hey, you hear me tonight? There is a precedence being continued here, and that is the second birth principle. If you went all the way back to Genesis chapter number 4, we see that principle begin. There is a boy born named Cain. He is one of the ground. He is a man of the flesh. He is a wild, wicked man. He is a type of your inner man, your lost condition. And then you have a man named Abel that is born. He is a man of faith. He is a man that lived on the altar. He is a man that walked with God. He is a man that knew what it was to believe what God had said. And God rejects the first birth and He honors the second birth. We go a little further on in the book of Genesis, and you've got a boy named Ishmael that's born. Y'all remember Ishmael, don't you? I mean, Ishmael's wicked. Amen. Hey, we're still dealing with Ishmael tonight. Hey, that's one that's born out of Hagar and Abraham. That's one that's born out of Canaan and out of Egypt. Hey, can I tell you, you can never accomplish a God thing using the world's methods. Amen. Hey, Brother Kyle, I see that. Ishmael's a wild man. The Bible tells us that. He's against his brethren. I mean, he is a wicked man. And like I said, we're dealing with him today. But then Isaac's born. Isaac's that spiritual man. If you don't know about Isaac, Isaac's the only one of the Old Testament patriarchs in the book of Genesis that lived in the promised land his whole life. I mean, hey, he lived there his whole life. That's a picture of the Spirit-filled life. Hey, can I say tonight, Brother Brian, Hey, he was that man of faith. And if you went over to Genesis 21, as soon as he's born, Ishmael starts rising up against Isaac. Ishmael starts talking down to Isaac. Ishmael starts beating down on Isaac. Can anybody relate to that? Hey, but guess what? And even in that story, God rejects the first birth and he honors the second birth. Hey, you go a little further in the Bible. There's a boy named Esau born. He's hairy. He's wild. He's the man of the field. Don't nobody come up after service and call me Esau either. Amen. Bunch of Esau's around here these days. But you hear me? Esau's a wild man. Esau's a man of the flesh. And matter of fact, the Lord said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I what? Hated. Hey, God rejects the first birth, but God accepts the second birth in Jacob. Hey, we go on even to the end of the book of Genesis, and Joseph has a son, or two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Y'all remember Jacob's an old man, and Joseph had been in Egypt too long, he forgot about the second birth principle. And brother Samuel, Jacob's coming down to die, and what Joseph does, he's trying to set it up, right? Isn't that what we try to do? We try to fix what God wants to do. And here's what Joseph did. He brought his oldest son to the right hand and his younger son to the left hand. But even old senile blind Jacob could see that it wasn't the right thing to do. And what did Jacob do? He crossed his hands. He blessed the second birth and he disregarded the first birth. Hey, you say, Brother Chris, why are you talking about that? Hey, because neighbor, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I'm not asking if you've signed a card. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking if you felt a fuzzy feeling singing in the choir. I'm not asking if you repeated a bunch of prayers. I'm asking tonight, have you ever repented and believed the gospel? Have you ever passed from death unto life? And tonight, if the answer is no, if you've never been regenerated tonight, hey, you're just like these first births. All you've got's the first birth. See, in the garden, Adam and Eve, hey, Adam, he died that day spiritually. And you were born dead. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Hey, listen to me, young people. If you're lost, you're not just not going to heaven, and you're not just going to hell. Hey, if you're lost here tonight, you are an enemy of God. You are dead on the inside. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hey, Brother Clint, before we got saved, we were dead men walking. We were the real walking dead. And if you're here tonight and you've never had that second birth, hey, I've got news for you. You can tonight.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see, or except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus answered and said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Hey, look up here this morning, this evening, young people. You've already had the water birth. You've already had the birth of the flesh. But what you need tonight is you need the Holy Ghost to regenerate you. You need the Holy Ghost to birth you into the family of God. Hey, that's why some of you, hey, you are not taking your raising seriously. You're not focusing on the things of God. You're looking for a door to exit out. Hey, but can I say, instead of looking for a way out tonight, why don't you look for a way in tonight? At an old-fashioned youth meeting, why don't you just come to Christ and be born again tonight? Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I see the birth. And man, I got to get on here with this. Look at our text. Y'all still with me? Say amen. Some of y'all looking at it like a calf at a new gate. Amen. Y'all smile at least. Amen. I ain't going to preach that long. I got a longer drive than most of y'all. All right. Y'all watch here. I like this. Look at verse 18. She called his name Benoni. That means the son of my sorrow. That'd be a depressing name, wouldn't it? Like your mama calling you, hey, idiot. That would be your name, right? That'd be a depressing name. Go through the world life called idiot, right? Amen. Some of y'all probably think that's your name, doesn't you? I ain't going to point at nobody. Amen. But this is a horrible name. And it has a meaning behind it. The son of my sorrow. But then the father steps in. I love it. Know how the Bible lays this out? Hey, she's going to let him live through life as the son of my sorrow. Hey, but Brother Tim, the father steps in and he says, no. Hey, we can't do this. This is the second birth. This ain't a first birth. This is her second birth. She's already birthed Joseph in Genesis chapter 30. And now she's birthing Benjamin. Hey, it can't be about sorrow. God's got to protect that principle. Amen. So Brother Kyle, the father steps in and names him Benjamin. Y'all know what Benjamin means? The son of my right hand. Hey, ain't that something that God, when the Father steps into your story, He can take you from being the son of sorrows to being the son of His right hand. Hey, and I'll go a step further. Hey, the son of His right hand became the man of sorrows so that we, the sons of sorrows, could become the sons of His right hand. Hey, what a transaction. Hey, for my sin, for His righteousness, my unholiness, for His holiness. Hey, the just for the unjust. Amen. You say, why are you walking around back here? Because y'all all sit in the back. Amen. It used to be a day where boys would sit up front and shout. Amen. I don't know what happened. Y'all, when I played football, Brother Will, you know that box the coaches are supposed to stay in? Me and Chad would play both sides of the ball. But if they ever had to, he'll testify this. One time I had the flu and I was playing with 103 fever in the turkey bowl in Gatlinburg. And they would bring me out. I was so mad when they bring me out. And I'd chug a bunch of Gatorade, take some Sudafed. I don't know what they was putting in me that day. And my coach, Butch, he was running up and down. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he would run up and down the sideline. And as soon as I got me a drink, Brother Nate, I'd be running right behind him. I wasn't sitting on the bench. You was talking about sitting on the bench a while ago. Hey, that's for sissies. Amen. Bunch of preacher boys won't even sit up front. That's a bunch of sissies. Amen, preacher, that's right. See, what they're afraid, they hadn't read their Bible since Moby Dick was a men, and they know Brother Will knows they're preachers, and they're afraid Brother Will might call on the preacher. They hadn't studied nothing. They ain't got a new message, so they fit me back in the back. You say, how do you know that? Because I used to be a rebellious preacher boy. That's how I know that. Brother Clint, I would walk behind him, and every time he'd turn around, he'd knock me over because I wanted to go in. How many of y'all actually want to go in? I want to go in. If I wasn't preaching this meeting, I'd bribe Brother Will and let me at least say something. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. Y'all pray for me. Amen. I'm preaching. Let's see. I want to go. So we see the birth in this gospel. Y'all still with me? Number two, we got to see the bondage in this gospel. Let's go to chapter 44. We got to skip a bunch of Joseph to get to back to Benjamin. Now, you say, preacher, I thought we was looking for the good news, and you just said bondage. Well, let me tell you, the good news won't mean anything unless the bad news gets there first. Amen. And y'all need some bad news tonight. If you're lost, you need the bad news. If we, and I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read them chapter 44. I'm trying to hurry. But in chapter 43, Brother Will, the other brothers come back from Egypt. Egypt's the top of the world. Y'all know that? Egypt's the top of the world in your Bible. And that those older brothers come back and they say, hey, they want Benjamin down there in Egypt. Now, Brother Will, that's a picture right there. That Egypt, before Benjamin ever got old enough to even go, Egypt was pulling at Benjamin. Y'all see that? Hey, young person, you probably do know it. But Egypt's pulling at you tonight. Your music, just a little bit of country, it won't hurt nothing. Just a little bit of rock, it won't hurt nothing. Just a little bit of rap, it won't hurt nothing. And what it's doing is it's pulling you in. It's a hook. And you say, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, neighbor, do I know what I'm talking about? I used to stand up and sing in honky-tonks. Y'all with me? I used to stand up and sing, and I used to, y'all ain't going to believe this, I would rap. Can y'all believe that awful stuff? That's dumber than a box of hammers. Y'all hear me? I would try. I would play. Anyways, y'all pray for me. I know the pool. But y'all got far worse now. Y'all got TikTok pulling at you, and you got Instagram, and you got these apps where you think you can get it on your phone and hide the bad stuff you're looking at in that app, and your parents won't find out. And you're right, your parents might not find out. There's one. His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And young lady, he knows the bad decisions you're making. Young man, he knows the things you're looking at in private. Let me go a step further. Sir, he knows the things you're looking at in private. Ma'am, you got to preach this both ways now. Ma'am, he knows the stuff you're looking at on private. Hey, there's a pull. Y'all feel it? Y'all feel that draw? That draw to just give in just a little bit. Are y'all with me tonight? Are y'all living in the same culture I'm living in? Hey, Egypt is pulling after us tonight. I'll just hold his hand. It won't be that big of a deal. And then that barrier's broke down. I'm just going to preach while I'm here, Brother Will. And then just a little bit of cuddling won't hurt. It's just cuddling. That's another barrier broke down. Y'all with me? Brother Nathan, I remember one time when Miss Chloe were courting, and we courted during the winter. I highly recommend it. Fireplace, and it's cold outside. It's all nice. Light some candles. And we would have somebody in the other room watching somebody say amen. Had a little cut through their wall like an island, and they would watch us, Brother Trent, because I don't trust me. I definitely don't trust your kids. I don't trust me. I remember one time I sat down on the couch a little bit too close to her, and my leg bumped her leg, and it was like electric shock went through my body. I was like, God, y'all with me? Some of you boys ain't ever talked to a girl, much less bumped your leg up to her. Bunch of sissies. Texting. This bunch of texting. If a boy ain't got a backbone, and that's exactly what he is. If he's going to text you and ask, what do you think about me? Why don't you tell him to grow a backbone and be a man and go talk to your daddy? Hey, young lady, value yourself more than that, than some weak-kneed, no backbone boy that won't even talk to you to your face. Hey, man, Brother Chris, just preach right there. I am. Because if he ain't got enough guts to talk to you to your face, he's not going to be the man that's going to lead your family. Amen. Amen. And boys, quit being goofy. Man up. Look at all these girls around here. You bunch of dummies. Y'all won't even talk to them. They want you to talk to them. These girls, 16, got three cats. They think they're going to die with a single woman with a bunch of cats. And y'all twiddle around like, I don't know, I wonder what the Braves is doing. Talk to a girl! What's wrong with y'all? Am I okay, Brother God? I mean, y'all talk to each other. Amen. God help us. Pray for me, Brother Will. At least y'all are laughing now. Y'all wasn't doing nothing a while ago. Hey, there's a draw, isn't there? There's a pull. There's this, some prude's going to come, some hoity-toity somebody's going to come out. Well, you shouldn't tell our young people to talk to one another. Well, at least I hope these boys like girls. Amen. And these girls like boys.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, but if you start that holding hands, you've broken down that barrier I'm talking about.
Amen.
God gives us barriers, Brother Amen. Will. Y'all with me? God gives us barriers, and when you start holding hands, and when you start cuddling, and then you start kissing, hey, the reason God said it is good for a man not to touch a woman is so you don't break those barriers down and get to this point. Can I just be honest? Fornication is that next step. Y'all with me? Say, what, preacher, what's fornication? Go ask your preacher after service. Don't ask me. I'm not... Y'all, I think everybody over there is good. So y'all don't just ask your preacher. Amen. Hey, and you say, preacher, you ought not to talk to our young people like that. If you think that's bad, you need to take their cell phone away. If you think that's bad, they don't need to have a TV. I'm sure you don't have a TV in your house, right? If you think that's bad. So you hear me, there is a pull, isn't there? There is a draw. But you know what Benjamin's daddy said? He literally says in chapter 43, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, I would rather all of us starve to death than for my son to go to Egypt.
Amen.
Brother Kyle, he said, I don't want any more corn if I got to give up my boy. Y'all with me? Hey, would some people get... there's some parents in here. There's some preachers in here. There's some adults in here. Hey, would to God we get a backbone and say, I would rather us starve to death physically than for my kids to go to the world.
Amen.
So he eventually does go. Y'all with me? He goes, and would y'all believe this? As soon as he got to Egypt, they gave him a job making more money if he worked on a Wednesday night. Now, that was in the originals. In all seriousness, they start heaping. Egypt starts heaping more on Benjamin than they do the rest of them. Brother Samuel, isn't that the way the devil is? If the devil thinks he can open a door for you of success, he'll do it every day of the week to keep you from serving God. That's why some of y'all won't serve Jesus. You are so set on making some money and having a house and having a car, and you're so dead set on the American dream. Y'all wake up. Do y'all not see that the American dream is literally evaporating beyond, before our eyes? If you're going to do something for Jesus, you better do it right now. That's the way Egypt is. And before you know it, Egypt is Benjamin's friend long enough just to get the clasps on his hands. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 44. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found. Now, Joseph's cups fell. They're looking for Joseph's cup. You say, well, preacher, this fall isn't Benjamin's fault. Exactly. We're all kind of in the same boat, aren't we? Are y'all with me? Adam fell. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's what? Read that word. Bondmen. Well, that doesn't sound fun. And he said, now also let it be according unto your words, he with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laid at every man his ass and returned to the city. Y'all listen to me, young people, tonight. Your sin is going to find you out. And the wages of sin is what? It's not happy fun time. I don't care what kind of podcast tells you that if somebody puts boundaries in your life that it's a burden on you and it's hurting you. I'm going to tell you, I wish I could go back to my teenage years and somebody would have preached to me like this.
Amen.
Brother Will, it would have saved me a lot of heartache and a lot of scars and a lot of sorrow and a lot of having to quote scripture to go to bed at night sometimes because of the memories coming up. Y'all with me?
Yes. Amen.
Brother Trey, I wish I would have had somebody say, don't go to the far country.
Amen.
There was bondage, and it will make a bondman out of you. So, preacher, I grew up in such bondage, preacher. You don't know how I grew up. Well, tell me about it. Well, my mom and daddy told me how to dress. And daddy would not let me listen to Beyonce and Taylor Swift and preacher, I was in such bondage. Y'all look up here. Y'all want to know what bondage is? Are we live tonight, Brother James? We are live. Okay, I'm glad I checked. Trying to be sensitive. I'll tell you what bondage is. Not being able to quit cussing. I'll tell you what bondage is, that little can that I used to carry around in my pocket. And man, I couldn't go without it, Brother Will. Risk getting it spelled at school. because I couldn't go without it. Yeah, it's vapes now. I could tell jokes. Y'all leave me alone, please. I'm trying not to tell vaping jokes. Y'all pray for me. It's a very serious time right now. Pray for me, Mama. She don't like for me to tell jokes when it's serious. Brother Kyle, I'll tell you what bondage is growing up in a home where there's drugs on the table and divorce on both sides and not knowing if you're going to ever make it out. I'll tell you what bondage is you get addicted to the flesh and fornication and you can't get out of it. I'll tell you what bondage is when you can't put the phone down, you can't turn it off the screen, you can't put it stuff down, and it's got a hold on you. And every time you try to get victory, every time you try to get freedom, it grabs back a hold to you. Hey, that kind of stuff will take you to hell. And if you are saved, it'll take away your joy.
Amen.
Am I okay, preacher? I know what bondage is, friend. It's not living for God. It's not having some no's in our life. It's not having some boundaries in our life. I'll tell you what bondage is. It's the world. And if some of y'all don't wake up, that's exactly where you're heading to. I see the bondage, I see the birth, but I see the brother. It's about to get good. If you're looking for a place to get happy, here it is. There's the brother in this gospel. Look at verse 31 of chapter 44. It shall come to pass... verse 30, excuse me. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant... This is Judah speaking, by the way. This is Judah. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant... Listen to this, my goodness. Judah's talking. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Let me tell you what's going on here. Before Benjamin ever went to Egypt, there was a conversation between Jacob and Judah. There was a conversation between the father and the son. And Judah stepped up and said, look, Daddy, if anything were to happen to Benjamin, if there was anything that got Benjamin in trouble, I'm willing to give myself so that Benjamin can come back to you. Y'all with me? Oh, Brother Fleming, tonight, hey, there was a conversation between the father and the son that said, if anything were to happen, I'll take care of it. Hey, there was another conversation before the foundations of the earth where Jesus and the father had a predetermined counsel. And Jesus said, hey, I know they're going to fall. I know they're going to mess up. I know they're going to spiral out of control. Hey, but Daddy, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to be sure. I'm willing to book. Hey, Judah in this text, he said, don't make him a bondman. Make me a bondman. Hey, he said, if the boy don't go back, it's going to break my daddy's heart. And so here's what Judah's doing. He's willing to sever his fellowship with the father so that Benjamin could have fellowship with the father. Oh, you know what Jesus did on the cross? Jesus didn't just die so that you could go to heaven. Jesus died so you can go back to God. See, Brother Kyle, ever since the sin in the garden, there's been a veil between God and man. Hey, and when Jesus died on the cross and the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, that was a big sign saying, come on in, come on in, come on. Hey, Jesus didn't just die so I could go to the pearly gates. No, Jesus died so I could go to the throne of God. He did every bit of it for us. Jesus, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, the wrath of God, it should have been on me and you for our sin. Oh, the wrath of God, it should have been poured out on us. It was poured out on His darling Son so that we could go to God. I see the brother in this gospel. Y'all got just like a couple more minutes. Am I okay, preacher? I mean, I feel led to go to this. Let's go to chapter number 46, excuse me. I see the brother in this gospel, the bondage in this gospel, the birth in this gospel. But I see the beauty in this gospel. Y'all going to laugh at me when I read this verse. But it's in here. Brother Will says, I'm the best in the world at preaching what's not in the Bible. So y'all just hold on. Verse 21 of chapter 46. And the sons of Benjamin, are y'all there? Say amen if you're there. Three people are there. That's a blessing. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela and Becher and Ashbel, Gera and Naaman, Ehi and Rosh, Mupim and Hupim. Ain't you glad your mama didn't name you that? And Ard, he was a pirate. We got the beauty in this gospel. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, there's 10 sons of Benjamin here. 10 is testimony. And I believe that that's what the number 10 means in your Bible, is testimony. I believe that these 10 names are a picture of the Christian life after salvation. Here's what happens. Bela means destruction. Isn't that where Christ found us? We were heading for destruction. We were having our own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Hey, we were on our way to destruction and hell. But then there was a second birth, by the way, a second birth. Can I get an amen? His name is Becher. Y'all ain't going to believe this, but his name means young camel. You say, preacher, that don't mean nothing to me. Well, it does to me, because camels in the Bible are a picture of the grace of God. I don't have time to preach. The camels are coming, but there's about 20 other people that's preached it. Go find it. But am I telling it right, Brother Will? Camels are a picture of the grace of God in the Bible. Isn't that what happened when the second birth happened in your life? Hey, the grace of God reached down further than you could reach up. The grace of God, the camels are coming, praise God. The grace of God reached down into your destruction, reached down into your pit. Amen. But then there's a third son born. His name is Ashbel. It means a man in God. Hey, aren't you glad God didn't just leave you when He found you? Hey, He picked you up by His grace out of your destruction, and He put you in Christ. Now, if you're saved, you're a man or a woman in God. Amen. There's a few more sons. Just hold on. Then there's Gera. It means grain. After Jesus' grace picked you up out of destruction, put you in Christ, then you started growing, didn't you? You need to start growing. You need to start bearing some fruit. You need to start growing like the grain in the ground. And then the fifth son's born, Naaman. It means pleasantness. And it's not a sin to smile. Amen? Hey, there's pleasantness in this. Hey, there is joy in the service of God. If you get saved and somebody says, oh, the honeymoon will run out, well, they might not have the same salvation that we're talking about. It gets sweeter and sweeter, not worse and worse. I'm happy about my salvation. Brother Will, I'm happier about my salvation tonight than I was on September 19, 1999. And I'd say that you're more happy about your salvation than you were in the Mill Village a couple of decades ago. Hey, tonight, hey, it's more pleasant today than it ever has been. If you're not enjoying your salvation, it's because you're refusing to grow in your salvation. Amen. Are there sin in your life? Amen. There, we got this friend of ours, Miss Graham, Sister Christina Graham. Her husband's like 6'4", and she's 4'6". I mean, she just bounces around. She's just so happy. Got 8 kids. I swear she's on Prozac. Brother Kyle would be that happy and have all them kids. I don't know. You had to take it up with her. But Brother Will, she's happy everywhere she goes. She went to a post office a few months ago. She bounced in there. She wears pink all the time, too, all bright and cheerful. I can't stand it. I'm a Baptist, and I'm going to be mad. I mean it. But Jeremiah, she bounced into this post office, and there's a young black lady working there. There was nobody else but them. And the black lady asked her, she said, "Miss Christina, why are you always so happy?" Ooh, I wonder if anybody's ever asked you that. Woo! And she said, "Well, I'm saved. I know Jesus." She said, "Do you know Jesus?" She said, "Well, I know about Jesus, but I don't know what to do with it." And Miss Christina, all 4'6" of her, took a gospel tract out, and don't tell nobody, but she preached the gospel to that lady right there in the post office. And that dear black lady got saved right there. Special delivery. You know where that started? It wasn't because she was wearing a WWJD bracelet. It wasn't because she was wearing a fish shirt. She wasn't even walking in singing, "I'll Fly Away." No, she was just happy.
Amen.
Being saved ought to make you happy.
Amen.
I see its pleasantness. I still didn't get that point across to some of you. Then there's Ehi. That name means "my brother." When you get pulled out of destruction by the grace of God and you become a man or a woman in Christ and you begin to grow and you begin to, that joy of the Lord becomes, it's your strength. It starts oozing out of you. All of a sudden you wake up one day and you realize that your family and your friends, they don't have what you have. And all of a sudden you get a burden. That night that Brother Trent and Miss Savannah got saved in the camper at the love seat. Amen. Buddy got saved there a couple months ago too. Amen.
Amen.
They got saved, and Brother Trent, he was in a bulk. Y'all boys know, no, none of y'all boys know what I'm talking about. Sorry. I'm sorry. I was going to make a joke, but I just better move on. He gets saved, wiping tears away from his face, and he grabs me in the shoulder. And he's a big old dude. He grabs me in the shoulder. I'm like, "Oh man, he's about to beat me up." He said, "Now tell me how to tell other people about what just happened to us." You know, that's the natural desire of a Christian.
Amen.
Is that other people become Christians.
Amen.
That's y'all know we're not here to get a 401k. You're not here to have a Snapchat. You're not here to have a TikTok, a following. You're here so that you can tell other people about how to be saved.
Amen.
Then there's a son named Rosh, means head. Isn't it a good day in your life when you start looking to him as the author and the finisher of your faith? He's the head of everything in your life. You've submitted your life to him. He is all and all. But then there's another son named born. Mupin. We got to get to him. I'm sorry. Y'all ain't going to believe this. Mupin, not only is it a horrible name, it means serpent. What? He must have been a bad kid. But Tim, we thought "son of my sorrows" was bad. I'm going to call you the devil. But Brother Kyle, isn't that the way it is in the Christian life? Christ pulls us out of destruction. By His grace, He puts us in Christ. We start to grow. We become joyful. We start witnessing to people. We start seeing Christ as the head. He serves where we should see Jesus. He's everything to us. And right there in the midst of all that, the serpent gets loosed on us. Anybody else ever been there? The devil starts getting a hold of you. And the devil starts... Maybe it's not even sin. It's just he's attacking you. But I'm glad Mupim had a brother named Hoopim. Guess what Hoopim means? Protected. Aren't you glad that he said, "I'll go with you even till the end of the earth"? Brother Kagan, he is here. And though the serpent comes and though the devil tries to mess with us, I've got, just like Job, I'm glad my Redeemer liveth and I'm protected by the serpent.
Amen.
We find out in the book of Job, young people, that the devil is the Lord's devil. And he is on a very short leash.
Amen.
And he can only do to you what God allows him to.
Amen.
That ought to bring comfort. But then lastly, there's the last son, Ard. I like the fact that I'm protected from the devil here, but the son, Ard, means "I shall subdue." The end of this Christian life is getting to see the devil cast into the lake of fire. Isn't that exciting? That there's not going to be any more devil to mess with us. I see the beauty in this gospel. But then the last thing, and I'm closing my Bible, there's the binding in this gospel. Benjamin and Judah, if you study your Bible, they become linked here. Brother Luke, it's inevitable. They become, they're mentioned throughout the rest of Scripture side by side. We get into the book of Judges and Benjamin's a mess. Y'all with me? Benjamin almost gets completely wiped out. We got a king that rises up at the end of the book of Judges named, anybody know his name? Saul. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. What a mess he was. He's man's king, not God's king. And for the next 40 years, Benjamin and Judah, that's where David's from, they start banging their heads against each other. All of a sudden, Judah gets real big in the kingdom, and Benjamin gets real small in the kingdom. And you remember what happens to Mephibosheth? Judah just takes him in and says, "Everything that I've got is yours." There came a day, Brother Will, where Benjamin put his hands up and he says, "I'm with Judah from now on." Oh yeah, it's getting better here in just a second. Then, y'all remember, there comes a time in the kingdom where Rehoboam, he messes everything up and there becomes a northern kingdom. They called that kingdom what? Israel, right? The top, the 10 tribes of Israel. But there's two tribes at the bottom. We don't call it Judah, Benjamin. We just call it Judah. See, Brother Kyle, the longer Benjamin was in Judah, the less we see of Benjamin. The longer Benjamin's in Judah, the bigger Judah gets. Brother Samuel, the knock will come at the door, and it's not Benjamin going to open the door. It's Judah that goes and opens the door. Hey, there comes an army out, Brother Tim, and Benjamin doesn't have to go out. Hey, Judah does it. Hey, the longer they go on. Hey, today we don't even know where the tribe of Benjamin is, but there's a lot of signification of where Judah's at. Oh, and by the way, there's a man named Jesus. He came through Judah. May I say, the end of the goal of the Christian life is not that they can see us. It's so that they can see Him.
Amen.
See, there came a day where Benjamin finally found his place in Judah. And young person, the reason some of you that are saved, you're miserable tonight, and you're trying. It's like you're beating your head against the wall, and you don't want to read your Bible, and you don't want to pray, and you don't want to go to church, and you're just doing things that your parents are making you do. Hear me out. The reason you feel like that is because you're trying to find your purpose in something other than Christ. Can I tell you that the best thing you'll ever do is hide yourself in Christ and run Benjamin out of your life? Less of me and more of thee. Amen. Man, I'll type a Facebook post up. It'll be fire and hot, Brother Clint. I'm about to set everybody straight, and the Holy Ghost will slap me in the back of the head. That's Benjamin talking, not Judah. I'll get up and I want to show off, right? Anybody else want to show off? I want to show off. You singers, it's real easy to get up and want people to see us. What about, do they see Jude? Do they see Jesus? Hey, what about our couples? What about our families in here? What about these young people? Does anybody see Jesus in you?